Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special, I guess you could say, Erev Rosh Chodesh Adar Shir in West Hempstead. Thank you for inviting me and joining me. Where's Nani? Can I just say it right before I speak?
Shabtai Chaim Ben Ahuva. Shabtai Chaim Ben Ahuva.
This year is Chos Refuah Shleima for Shabtai Chaim Ben Ahuva. B'soch Cholei Yisrael. So here we are right before Adar. It is Tuesday evening. Rosh Chodesh is basically upon us. Tomorrow night begins the first day of Rosh Chodesh Adar. And let's have some Purim and Adar insights to enhance our celebration and the meaning of this time, Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. The Jewish calendar is not stagnant. There is life in every month, and there is life in every day. We don't just pass through the days. We live through each and every day. And the koach, or the theme, of Adar, is simple. What does it mean to have true simcha? What does it mean to really celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim? What does it mean to live inspired? Of Yosef Friedenson. He was a renowned historian, the editor of Der Das Yiddish Wort. He was a Holocaust survivor. Did anyone ever hear of him? Very well known. Rav Yosef Friedenson. He would tell the following story over every year on Simchas Torah when he would visit, what is wrong with me, the small shtiebel in Munson, New York, where his daughter and his son-in-law lived. Every year on Simchas Torah, Hakafas would stop between the fourth and the fifth Hakafa, and Yosef Friedenson would relay the following story. He said, "I will never forget that year. We were in the smithy shop preparing to do our work that day, but for some reason, we had not been assigned any work to do. This was unusual, but we were not complaining. Somebody remembered today with Simchas Torah. We all began singing the appropriate songs." He was going back to the war years. Someone started singing the Nigun, "Ein Adir Kahashem." There is no one. There is none as powerful as Hashem. The Ein Baruch Kben Amram. There is no one as blessed as the son of Avram, as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a traditional Nigun, usually sung when we dance at the Sefer Torah on Simchas Torah. So we were singing this part of the Nigun, and we were singing Ein Zechia Ketorah. There's no schus like Torah. The Ein Chachma. Do you forgive me? This doesn't usually happen to me. See, everything's from Hashem. When you say, when I go into a shir, see, I forgot to say it up the walkway because I couldn't find the house. I usually say, Hashem sefasai tiftach fi yagid hilsecha, because without the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can't talk. You can't even talk without Hashem. Ein chachamech ki Yisrael. There is no wisdom like that of Israel. And suddenly the camp commandant, a somewhat civil German by the name of Bruno Papa, walked into the room. He looked at us and he saw us singing and he seemed to become angry. And he said, "What is this? What are you all singing? You have it so good here that you think you can sing?" Everybody stopped quickly. We were frightened. He was relatively civil, but he was a Nazi. "Friedenson," Papa called to me, "what are you singing?" I stepped forward. I was chosen to be the spokesperson of this group. I explained today is our holiday and that we were singing in song. "Are you praying or are you singing?" said Papa. "Were you praying for the downfall of Hitler? Is that what the song is about? Translate the words for me." And I translated as best as I could. When I came to the part that there is no wisdom, there is no Torah, there is no one like Moshe, there's no wisdom like the wisdom of Israel, he said, "Are you Jews so wise? Do glabst in dust? Do you believe in this?" And I remember, said Friedenson, that there was a young boy of 17 or 18 there with us. He wasn't even from our religious group. And he jumped up and he said in German, "Yes, Herr Commandant, I believe." "Ich glaube." Papa began asking each and every one of us if we believe. He went from person to person. You have to understand, we were not afraid to say the truth. He was relatively civil. And every person in the shop said, "Yes, we believe." He looked at us. He gestured with both arms and he said, "You Jews are amazing. I don't know how the Führer will ever be able to defeat you." So interesting, because when Haman comes and he says that he prepares the gallows for Mordechai, what does his wife tell him? "Imi zera Yehudim." If Mordechai is from the zera of Yehudim, that you have begun to fall before him, you will not be successful. "I don't know how the Führer will ever be able to defeat you," said Bruno Papa, and he walked away. It was an incredible moment, recalled Friedenson, every year, of pride and faith. How right he was, and how fortunate we are. We must never be afraid. We must always believe. Ein zechiya ke Torah. There is no zchus. There is no merit like Torah. The ein chachamah ki Yisrael. There is no wisdom like Israel. And with that, the small shul and Mansi would resume their singing and dancing. So the Megillah tells us, after these things, the king made Haman his appointed advisor, and some time passed. And Haman comes one day to the king, and he says, you know, Yeshno am'achan mufuzer umufurad bein ha'amim b'chal medinos machlusachah. There's this people, and they're scattered throughout all the provinces of your kingdom, 127 provinces, they're scattered. But the same shonos we call am, they're so weird. They're so different. Their religion is different than any other religion. As to say ha'malach einam osim. And the religion of the king, they don't keep. It's just not worth it. What do you need them for? They're different. If the king sees that it's good, let's write off to absolutely destroy them. I'll pay you money. And the king takes his ring and he gives it to Haman, Tzorer HaYehudim, the oppressor of the Jews. And what did they sit down to do? Who remembers? After they decide that they're going to destroy and annihilate and abduct and kill and exterminate all the Jews, what did they do? The king and Haman sit down and they have a party. Let's make a lechayim. Let's have a toast to the annihilation of world Jewry. And they send out runners and they send out letters quickly to all the provinces of the king. The word goes everywhere. The city of Shushan is so confused. They're so perplexed. The Jews were accepted. They're at the highest echelons of society. This is after Churban Bayis Rishon, after the Gauls of Nebuchadnezzar, Malach Babel. Things are going so well for the Jews, and all of a sudden they think they have a friend in the government. They think they have a friend in the palace. The Medrash tells us 18,500 Jews went to the party of the king. And one day the advisor wakes up and says, they're so weird. They're so different. They don't celebrate your holidays. What do you need them for? It's funny because on my calendar, on my phone, it has the secular holidays also. Talking about being different and being weird. And how do we answer this charge? Are we really different? So they automatically come up. So tomorrow Valentine's Day is coming up. And I want to get it off of there. I'm trying to figure out. I don't need this there. It's actually one of the groceries today. I was very surprised to see they had Valentine's Day cakes and cupcakes. I don't know. Is it our weakness that we're different? Or is it a koach that we're different? Do you want Valentine's Day on your calendar? Or you don't want Valentine's Day on your calendar? I was very surprised to see. Rabbi Norman Lamb writes, Haman's accusation is that the Jews appear to be diverse. They consider themselves one people. Yeshno am echad, mefuzer mefurad, bein ha'amin. They're so clannish. They're so different. My husband had a boss, not his boss anymore. And she used to think, but you know, to every joke, there's truth. When it came to Shavuos, she would say, did you make this up? You need off 2 days? Passover, everybody knows. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, everybody knows. Shavuos? What Shavuos? Their calendar is very different than your calendar. They don't care about these days that you have. They are haughty in loyalty, writes Rabbi Lamb, to their own group. We don't eat the foods of other people they accused us of. We don't intermarry with other people. He was furious with us because our many holidays, which do not coincide with the holidays of other people, cause an economic drain on the larger community. You're a manager of sales. You need off 2 days every May, every June, for what? It's the middle of the week. We cause an economic drain on the larger community. We don't perform the laws of the king. That's exactly what Haman said. That's the say, Amelech Einam Osim. Jews refuse to celebrate these national holidays because they are religious in character and pagan in essence. It's a beautiful line. He accused the Jews of refusing to celebrate these national holidays, which are religious in character and pagan in essence. Beyond his facade lay what Haman regarded as the fatal flaw of the faithful Jew. Ein Mordechai Korah u'mishtachavelo. Mordechai represented the essence of the Jew who would not bow down to anybody except the Almighty, because the Jew will never idolize a mere human being. And Haman couldn't stand it. And apparently neither could Achashverosh. And the first Rashi on the Megillah tells us who Achashverosh, who Berisho. He was wicked from the beginning to end. Now Esther and Mordechai wrote this Megillah. So how would it look if she started writing about her husband that he's as wicked as the Satan, the Amalek of Haman? So they make him out to be the good guy. But he agreed to the plot. Did you notice that? He's drinking with Haman also. And Rabbi Lam says something beautiful. How do we plead to this ancient accusation that we are different? That we are am achad, mefuzer mefurad. That are the same mishonos mikol am. It is much more serious, he says, than the crucifixion libel, because it is more rational. What is he saying? It's rational. It's true. We are different. We do have different holidays. We do have a different calendar. We do eat different foods. We do marry different people. Are we guilty? Or shall we seek to be, writes Rabbi Lam, absolved? The first human tendency when accused is to say, it wasn't me. I'm not guilty. We feel we ought to deny the charges, the charge of every anti-Semite, but not in this case. On the contrary, we are guilty. It is with pride that we plead guilty as charged. We should be proud to be guilty. We should be proud to be different. The wretched Haman's conclusions may be vile exaggerations, may be misleading, but in essence, what he says is right. And woe to the Jew who seeks to be absolved of Haman's indictment. Yalkut Shimoni teaches, Rabbi Levi said, concerning what Haman prosecuted us for down below, the angel Michael defended us from above. The greatest charge that got us into the biggest trouble down below is our greater defense in the heaven. When Haman said, let's kill them because they're different, Michael said, wow, they're different. Let's save them, Ribono Sha'olam. It is of utmost importance, says Rabbi Lam, that we understand these charges so that we order our lives around them. So we should become guilty of charges if we are not already guilty. During this time, it was a time of Hester Panim. The Gemara famously tells us, Esther mina Torah minayin, where is there an allusion in the Torah to Esther Maseches Chulin 139b? So who knows the answer? Where is an allusion to Esther? I'll tell you the answer because we're not supposed to be taking questions or comments to the end, which is a good idea because sometimes we get off topic. So the Gemara says, when the Pasuk says, in Devarim Lamed Aleph, Anochi Hester Astir Panayim Mikem Bayamahu, I will hide my face, a condition called Hester Panim, when the face of the Shechina, so to speak, the Divine Presence, is hidden from us. So you see the words Hester Panim, Astir, I will hide, Esther, sounds the same. It's not an accident, it's not just a play on words. The Gemara says the time when God hid his face is the time of the story of Queen Esther, when the plot was to destroy every Jew. That is the time of Hester Panim. So what do we do in such a time? Where do we find our strength in such a time? Dafka specifically in being different. And understanding that it is our differences that bring us back to the Ribono Shel Olam. When we try and mesh with the Umos HaOlam, when we try and attend their parties, 18,500 Jews, I have the Lashon of the Medrash here. Not making up this number, it's what the Medrash says. Oh, it's the next source. No, it's not. When we try and be like them, we end up in very big trouble, time and again. And when we know that we're different, it's our greatest koach, and it's our salvation. And then Esther said to Mordechai, Leich knoses kol ha-Yehudim, ha-nimtzaim b'shushan, v'tzumu alai, al tochu v'al tishtu shloshes yamim laila v'yam. Gam and even our side tzum came, Leich knoses kol ha-Yehudim, the very Jew who partied with the king yesterday. Go gather him. Is he conservative? I don't care. Is he reform? I don't know. Does he wear a black kippah? It doesn't matter. Kippah shugah? I don't know. Silk? I don't know. Call a Yehudim. Every Jew, even the one who drank from the keum of the Beis HaMikdash, who had the Valentine's Day cake on his table, who bought it in a kosher supermarket, I saw it today. Daseim shonos mikolam. We have to be different. And if we're not different, how can we be defended above? The Yalkut says the charge of Haman below is the defense of the Jew above. Fascinating Medrash. Thank you for the water. Bye.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haOlam shehakol mehiyah bedvaro. Thank you. Beautiful Medrash. Medrash Rus Rabbah, 2:22. So the Medrash is speaking, Rus Rabbah, who's the Medrash speaking about? Rus. Even though we're talking about Megillas Esther, I'm going to share something regarding Megillas Rus. When Rus is coming to convert, with her mother-in-law, Naomi, I'm skipping a little bit to Shavuos. So Machlon and Kilion have died. Naomi wants to go back to Beis Lechem Yehuda. Arpa, which means the back of the neck. Arpa turns her neck on her mother-in-law. She goes home. And Rus wants to stick with Naomi. And Naomi says, leave. Even if I have another child until he's old enough to marry you, it's never going to happen. Go home like your sister-in-law. And Rus says, Al tifki ibi la'azvech l'shuv me'acharayach. Stop pressuring me. Stop pushing me to leave you. I don't want to leave you. I want to stay with you. She says to her mother-in-law, Mikol makom da'i lehitgayir. I am going to convert. I want to be a Jew. I want to join this people. Therefore, mutav al yadech v'lo yadech eres. If I already know you and I have a relationship with you, you should be my rabbi. I don't want to go find somebody else. I already know you. I love you. I want to come back to Beis Lechem Yehuda. You'll teach me how to be Jewish. Kevon shashama na'ami kach itchila soder lahilchot gerim. When Naomi heard that Rus is very determined, she started to teach her what it means, so deret hilchot gerim. How would you exactly translate that? To organize for her the laws of conversion. Continues the Medrash, Amar la, biti ein darkon shel benos Yisrael, my daughter, you should know, you want to be Jewish? You're so determined enjoying this hounded, persecuted, oppressed people. You sure you really want this? You want to be a part of this? Okay, you want it? It is not the ways of the Benot Yisrael, Leilech, Levate, Tertaros, Ulevate, Kirkasio, Shalgayim. It's not the way of Jewish girls to go to the theaters and the circuses of the Goyim. So Rus says, that's okay. Al Asher Telchi Eilech, wherever you go, I'm going to go. Amar Labiti, it's not the ways of Israel to dwell in a house without a mezuzah. So Rus says, that's okay. Where you sleep, I'm going to sleep. She says, you know, we have punishments. We have warnings. She says, it's okay. Your God is my God. My brother told me the following var, which he heard from Rabbi Yerucham Olshan, one of the Rosh Yeshivas at Beis Medrash Gvul Negev. If you notice, the first thing I told you, the Medrash says, when her daughter-in-law says, listen, I'm sticking with these people. What's the first thing she tells her daughter-in-law? You have to keep Shabbos. Every 7 days, it's coming. Even if you had a busy work week and you think you're not going to make it in time, Shabbos is coming. Maybe she should tell about Taras HaMishpacha. It's a very important institution. Kedushin, marriage is called Kedushin. Marriage is called holy. Marriage is not called marriage. Kedushin. You need Taras HaMishpacha to continue the legacy of Knesset Yisrael. Maybe she should tell about Yom Kippur. Maybe she should tell about Rosh Chodesh. That's the first thing she tells Rus. Ein darkon shel benos Yisrael leilech levate tartaros ulevate kir kasio shel gayim. The first thing she says, you want to be part of these people? Don't go to their theaters and their circuses. Says Rav Olshan, what was she telling her daughter-in-law? You have to know first, we are different. If you accept that we are different, then I can tell you everything else. But if you don't want to be different, it's going to be very hard to be part of Knesset Yisrael. If you want to be exactly like the Umos HaOlam, it's going to be very hard. There's 364 days to say I love you. Valentine's, I think it's after, I didn't look it up, I don't know, but I think it's after St. Valentine's. Religious but pagan in character, says Rabbi Lam. Yeshno am echad. We better be one people. Mefuzar and mefurad bein ha'amim, even though geography separates us. V'daseim shonos mikol am, wherever they are, their calendar and their practices are different. V'dasei ha'malach einam osim. That's exactly what Naomi told her daughter-in-law. You have to know going into this, you're never going to be the same as them. You have to leave your past. You have to be different. Haman understood this, and he hated it. And for it, he wanted to kill us. He couldn't handle that there was a Mordechai. Shelo yichra v'lo yishtachve. That there was someone who would not deify a human being.
The Pasuk tells us in Megillas Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk of Zion, chapter 9, verse 27, famous Pasuk. Kimu v'kiblu, it's at the end of the story, 9:27, there's 10 chapters in the story. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'alzara. The Jews, kimu, they upheld v'kiblu, and they accepted upon them and on their children, and to make these 2 days like their laws, and as they were written every year. They accepted every year to keep Purim, which we still do. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'alzara is famously expounded upon in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos 88a, where the Gemara speaks about Matan Torah, actually. That's where the Gemara is talking about Matan Torah. We just had Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro 2 weeks ago. So the Gemara takes this pasuk, Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem v'alzaram. They upheld and they accepted upon them and their children. What did we uphold and what did we accept? So the Gemara says there, we stood under the mountain. It takes us to the time of Matan Torah. We stood under the mountain. The Gemara famously says, what does the Gemara say about Matan Torah? Hashem took the mountain and he held it over us like a bathtub. Kafa aleim, that's what the Gemara says, at har kigigis, or like a basin. He held the mountain over us. And what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say to us when he held the mountain over us? The lashon of the Gemara is, im atem mekabim atar mutav. If you accept the Torah, good. V'im lav sham teikru ascham. If you don't accept it, there will be your burial place. So then everyone said Nasa Vinishma. So is it such a surprise that we said Nasa Vinishma? You know, someone's holding something over you, says, you know, you accept it, good. You don't accept it, I'm going to drop it and it's going to bury you. So what are you going to say? Yes, I accept. Please, thank you, God. I want my life. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Acha Bar Yaakov Mikan Moda Araba. From here we have a caveat to keeping the Torah. What's the caveat? We were forced. Isman Matan Torah saying, there's many ways to understand this Gemara. Kafalem har kigigis, sell the mountain over it. If you accept it, good. If you don't, sham take rasam. I'll just tell you one answer. It's a natural consequence. It wasn't a punishment. If you have Torah, it's life. If you don't have Torah, naturally it leads to death. Not physical death, spiritual death. God was telling him, just telling you the consequences. If you don't accept it, it's going to lead to spiritual death. But meanwhile, the Gemara says, there's a problem, there's a caveat. Mikan moda rabala oraisa. You could say that they were forced to accept the Torah. So if I was forced to accept it, do I have to keep it? Continues the Gemara, Amar Rava, Afal Pikein Hadar Kabluha B'Yemei HaShveirosh. When did we truly accept the Torah willingly? Not by coercion, not by force. When did we come back to God? In the days of Achashveirosh, as the Pasuk says, Kimu V'Kiblu HaYehudim. The Jews reinforced, Kimu, upheld, V'Kiblu, and accepted. Kimu masha kiblu kfar. We upheld what we had already accepted. You understand the Gemara? Shall I repeat again? The Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, after the whole story, we were saved, and Haman's hanging on a tree, and we're going to have Mishta and Simcha and Yom Tov, all of the Simcha, the Sasa, and Viko, everything's wonderful. So the Pasuk says in the Megillah, Kimu v'kiblu, Yehudim aleihem v'alzaram, we accepted, we upheld and accepted. I'm trying to translate it literally. Kimu l'kayim, we upheld and accepted upon us and our children these 2 days. But the Gemara says, what do we learn from there? We upheld and we accepted. By the time of Zman, I'm reviewing, ladies, by the time of Zman, Matan Torah, Seinu, we were forced. So if you're forced, what are you going to say? Yes, please, I don't want you to drop the mountain on me, even though we gave one interpretation and how we understand that piece of Gemara. So the Gemara says, so if we were forced, so you could say it wasn't really Kabbalah Satorah. It was coercion for Torah. Is that Kabbalah Satorah? Is that the great Nasa of Nishma? So the Gemara says, it's okay. Kimu Masha Kiblu Kfar. The days of Achashverosh, we reaffirm to uphold Torah that we had accepted back in the days of Mamad Har Sinai. It wasn't with coercion anymore. It was because we wanted to come back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We committed ourselves to coming back to God. What did Haman teach us? Haman taught us something. Ezu chacham halo made mikol adam. Mikol adam? Mishnah avos perek da. Mishnah av. Who's wise? He who learns from? Every person. Haman taught us something. Haman taught us how to be determined. Haman taught us how to be committed. Haman taught us to be different. Medrash Esther Rabba 7:13 is the part I was going to quote before. Amar Haman la Achashverosh. Haman said to Achashverosh, Elokeim shel elu sonei zima. The God of this one, the God of Israel, hates lewdness. Ha'amed lahem zonos. Why should you stand for them at the parties? prostitutes, put prostitutes at your party. The asalahem mishta, and Achashverosh made a party. The gazar aleim shayavo kulam. Everyone was able to, was told to, commanded to come. The yochlu, eat. The yishtu, drink. The asu kirtzonam, do whatever you want at the party. Lasos kirtzon ish ve'ish, come to the party. There are zonos stationed at every wine drinking station. There's a different prostitute. Have some food. It's not shachtik, halacha, don't worry. It's like some bacon, it's okay. There's pink and white flowers for Valentine's Day. It's okay. I'm not equating that with eating bacon. But on some level, hashkafically, there's something very wrong. Kevan Shara, Mordechai Kach Amad. Mordechai saw that the Jews are going to celebrate with the Zonos and the Yayin Nechar and the crispy bacon. The Hichri Zalem, and Mordechai stood up and he called out to everybody, Va'amar Lehem, Lo Telchu, don't go. La'achol besudaso shel Achashverosh. You don't have a party in your own home, you're going to eat at the party of the Achashverosh. Shelo hizmin eschem ki'im l'lamed aleichem kategora. He invited you for one reason. Only to prosecute against you, so that he will have something to say to midas hadin, to the attribute of strict justice, to prosecute against you. Velo shamalu divrei Mordechai. They did not listen to the words of Mordechai. V'halchu kulam lebeis hamishta. Everybody went to the house of the party. Amar Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael says, Shmona asar elef v'chamesh me'os. 18,500 Jews halchu lebeis hamishta, went to the house of the party, v'achlu, and they ate, v'shasu, and they drank, v'nishtakru, they became drunk, v'niskalkalu, and they became corrupt. Haman taught us that life and salvation and eternality lies in being different. We should not be striving to be like them. It doesn't work. The pasuk says at the end of the Megillah, "B'chol medina u'medina," in every city, in every province, in each and every province, 127 provinces. "B'chol ir v'ir," in each and every city, "Makom asher dvar hamelech v'daso magia," when the king's word reached that province, and that's, you know, it's not like today where news travels around the world instantaneously, literally. 127 provinces, it takes time for the runners to get to the provinces, saying the decree of Haman has been annulled. There won't be a slaughter, there won't be execution, there won't be gas chambers, we are all saved. Every place where the word reached, what happened? Simcha v'sason la'yehudim. There was simcha, there was gladness, there was sason, there was rejoicing. Mishta v'yom tov, they had parties, the right kind of parties. Yom tov, good days. Listen to the next words. V'rabim me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim. What does this pasuk mean? The rabim me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim, ki nafal pachar ha'yehudim aleihem. What does it mean? Many of the nations of the land were converting. Misyahadim, it's not really converting. Were becoming Jews because the fear of Jews had fallen upon them. I heard a tremendous vart by Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg. The Shavuos before last, at the Why You Read Shavuos Yarchei Kala. He was quoting the Yalkut Me'amlois. He said such a geshmak vart. The Yalkut Me'amlois says, V'rabi me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim, ki nafal pachar ha'yehudim aleim, is not referring to people of the Umos Ha'olam. It's referring to Jews themselves. The Jews themselves, when they saw the Yeshua, when they understood that our godless lives and our uniqueness were misyahadim, we came back to the Ribono Shel Olam. Ki nafal pachad ha'yehudim aleihem ba'alzaram, because we understood the true essence of Yerushalayim. It's so beautiful. Wherever the word of the king reached, the people are having mishta and yom tov. And the Jews themselves are coming back to God. How do we celebrate Purim? Purim is such an interesting yontif, because there's so much externality. Even dressing up, it's adding layers to who we are. So interesting. It's all almost about the external. Food, feed your guf. Mishloach manos, give food to other people. Mishta is the feed your guf. Mishloach manos, put on a costume and a hapachu, drinking adalo yada, rachmano letzlan. Maybe it's not always such a good idea. Such an external holiday. Where is the focus? Inside. Uncover. Open up. Look in the layers. And what do you find inside? The pasuk says, "In Mordechai yatzam lefnei amelch bevush malchus tcheis v'chur v'ateres zahav gedola tachrich butz v'argaman v'ayir shutzan tahala v'samecha." Even Mordechai went out of costume, so to speak. Even Mordechai, the pasha yid, is dressed up in royal garments, and everybody's rejoicing. And the pasuk says, "La Yehudim ha'isa ora v'simcha v'sason v'ikar." To the Jews, there was aura, there was light, simcha, happiness, sasam, gladness, vikar. Someone say something? Okay. What is the essence of the rejoicing? What does this pasuk mean? To the Jews, there is aura, simcha, sasam, and vikar. When we turn over the gashmis, v'nahapachu, what do we find hidden inside? The Gemara says so beautifully, Ora v'simcha v'sasun v'ikar. What does the Gemara say? Meseches Megillah, Tazayin. Ora, who knows? Torah. Ora zu Torah. When it says, like Yehudi Maisa, Ora means that the Jews had Torah. Simcha ze Yom Tov. When it says we had Simcha, we had Yom Tov. When it says Sasun, we re-embrace the mitzvah of Bris Milah. And finally, v'ikar was the mitzvah of Tefillin, Eilu Tefillin. The greatest gladness, the greatest triumph, the greatest hope, the greatest celebration comes in finding the light of Torah once again. Rabim me'ame ha'aretz misyahadim. It means that me, the Am Ha'aretz, the pashut, simple, unlearned, disconnected, uninspired, insipid Jew, came back to Hashem as a result of the Nes. That's the greatest Simchas Yom Tov. That's the greatest celebration of Purim. So before we finish the shir, not finished yet, I want to talk about an important nekuda. So if we really want to celebrate the Yom Tov of Purim, what we're understanding is that we have to send shachmanos. It enhances feelings between Adam and Chavero. It's also a halacha. We have to have a su'uda, mishta v'yom tov. But it means on a deeper level, we also have to celebrate. On a deeper level, we have to remember we're different. On a deeper level, we have to take something upon ourselves. Rabbi me'ame ha'aris misyahadim. I have to be the one who is misyahad. I have to come back to the Ribbono Shel'Olam. I have to embrace being different in some way, in some small level. Kimu masha kiblu kfar. I have to rededicate myself to Torah. Me, I'm talking to myself. I'm going to say when I scream this year, I'm screaming at Michal Horowitz. I have to rededicate myself to Torah. To Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to choose something. I'm coming back to you, Hashem. It's very hard. It's very hard to be a chozer b'tshuva. I'm not talking about the typical Baal tshuva term. Say me, it's hard. It's hard to rededicate myself to Torah. It's hard to accept something new. At my age, I'm set in my ways. I have things the way I do things. We have to choose something and change. Kimu mashe kiblu kvar. I have to willingly uphold and dedicate myself to what I have known my whole life. And it's a daunting task. It is a daunting task to change. So how does change happen? That means we think, you know what's the expression, go big or go home. I have to change everything in my life. I want to rededicate myself to God, to be a whole new person. So if I take that approach, I am going to go home because I'm going to fail. From the outset, I'm going to fail. One nekuda. One point. One tefillah, I'm going to say it more clearly. One bracha, I'll concentrate better. My friend Esther Goodman taught me such a great vart. It changed my Asher Yatzar. Asher Yatzar is not Tefillah Sadarach. I know most people say Asher Yatzar when they finish using the facilities. I saw someone the other day saying Asher Yatzar while they were checking their phone. It's a little bit of a disconnect. Who are you talking to, the person on the phone or God? You're saying the bracha. I can't go to the bathroom, I'm going to die. Okay.
Shlomi is saying, very good. Asher Yetzer is not Tefillas HaDerech. Maybe I'm going to stop and just stand in place for Asher Yetzer and really have Kavana. What am I saying? What am I doing? Why I'm Brachim Berkas HaShachar? Hanosen La'ev Kalach. I'm going to pay attention to what it means. One smile I don't feel like giving to the person who annoys me. One small action can effect change. It will affect change. That's how we rededicate ourselves to Torah. Salvechik relates that a member of a very prominent assimilated family came to me. And she said she had a desire to come closer to Yahadus. It's interesting, he uses the word Yahadus. V'rabi me amei ha'aretz. Misyahadim, kinafal pachar yudim aleim. The time being, though, she considered it impossible. She cannot keep 630 mitzvahs. So what should she do? So I asked her, have you consulted with other rabbis and scholars first, or am I the first one you're consulting with? So she said, no, Rabbi, to Rav Soloveitchik. I did consult with others. What did they tell her? Go big or go home. Either you keep every detail of the law, or stay unobservant. Salvechik told her, if you feel you cannot observe the 613 mitzvahs right now, you don't have to. But I want you to promise me you will observe one mitzvah and you will observe it well. One, you choose. But whatever you choose, you have to be it has to be observed conscientiously. She said, okay. She chose kashrus. She was going to start with one thing. That's not a small thing, by the way. She walked away. Finishes the Rav, she is now Shomeris Torah, Mitzvos, with her family in Eretz Yisrael. And then he doesn't conclude, it's a long piece, but he says, you see, this is the trouble with our Machmirs. They don't understand how hard it is for a secular Jew to change his whole life. I'm going to apply that to me. It's hard to understand how to affect change, how to be the Jew who says, Kimu Masha Kli Blu Kfar. I know this since kindergarten. I'm celebrating Shabbos since before I'm even born. It's hard to make it passionate, exciting, dedicated, connected, different. But it can be done. Small change. It's interesting that when you look at Esther Hamalka, I'm skipping two pages. I always prepare too much. I'm always afraid I will run out. So far, Bli Ein Hara, it hasn't happened yet. Esther began her career as the quiet, anonymous Jew. It's very, very interesting. When we look at the transformation that Esther Hamalka herself underwent, when we first meet her, she's anonymous. She's a Jewess. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. There was a Jewish man. Once again, key focus. He is an Ish Yehudi, Rabbi Me'ame Ha'aretz, Mis Yahadim. Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Abira. You know this pasuk, it's one of the ones we repeat. Shmo Mordechai Ben Yair Ben Shmi Ben Kish, Ish Yemini. He was exiled from Yerushalayim with the exile of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. And he raised Hadassah. She is Esther. She doesn't have a father and a mother. She's very beautiful. And her father and her mother died. She took him for a daughter. The Gemara says he was married to her. And all the maidens are called to the palace, including Esther. Lo higidu Esther es ama ve'es moladata. Mordechai tzivala shelo sagid. Mordechai did not tell who she was. Mordechai instructed Esther not to tell who she was. He understood that the Hashkocha has something in mind here. Don't say who you are. Be quiet. And every day Mordechai would write back and forth to see how Esther was doing. And it says about Esther that she was taken to the palace. Vatilakach Esther al Hamelech Achashverosh. What does it mean, Vatilakach Esther al Hamelech Achashverosh? What does it mean? She was taken to the king. Not she went. She was taken. There's a difference between going and being taken. She is passive, quiet, unassuming Esther. Not Esther Amalka, Esther. She wants to be left alone. And yet the Hashkacha thrust a tremendous tafkid upon her. And her tafkid became to be the salvation of the Jews. And she doesn't want to. And she says to Mordechai, everybody knows that if you go to the king before you're called, what will happen? Look what happened to the previous queen who didn't listen to him. How could I not listen to him? What did Mordechai say to her? It's no more time for silence. Revach v'hatzala ya'amod la'yehudim mimakom acher. V'at u'beis avich tovedu. This is your moment to change.
You have to undergo a transformation. It's hard. It's hard to transform. You're quiet, passive, Esther. Quiet. You're taken to the house of the king. Now you have to go to the king. It takes courage, says the Rav, to repent. It takes courage to change. But sometimes we have no choice. And we have to understand that our lives and our national destiny depend on us undergoing this transformation. And how beautifully she rose to the task. She instructs them to gather all the Jews. Ka'asher avadati avadati. I will do my part. I understand that it is my task. I have to go from being quiet and passive to being active. I will go from being taken to walking out of my own free will. And she teaches us that transformation is possible. It takes bravery. It takes courage. It takes a lot of faith. Not only faith in the Ribon Shalom. Keli, keli, lama zavtani, rechok, mishuasi, divrei shagasi. The Gemara says, she's walking to the palace of the king and she's saying to him, kapitul chav beis. But it doesn't only take faith in God to change. It takes faith in who? Yourself. Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin says, Kashem sha'adam tzarich laha'amin b'Hashem, kach tzarich laha'amin ba'atzmo. Just as you have an obligation to believe in God, you have an obligation to believe in yourself. We have to believe we can be the Jew who is Messiah Hadim. I am the Jew who can uphold what I accepted already. I am the one who can change my midos, my brachos, my interactions, my actions. It's not impossible. And from this, she went to becoming the savior of the Jews. I saw a beautiful line that I will end with. Sari Yocheved Rigler writes in the Heni Machlis biography, based on the life and the actions of Rabbitzin Heni Machlis, Allah HaShalom. I think it sums up. I hope it sums up Rashir nicely. Believe in your own unlimited potential. It's not that great people make great choices. Rather, people who make great choices become great people. I'm going to repeat it. Believe in your own unlimited potential. Kashem sha'adam tzarich la'amin b'Hashem, kach tzarich la'amin ba'atzmo, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Believe in yourself. If you don't believe in yourself, you're nowhere. If you don't believe in God, you're also nowhere. Put the two together and you can be somewhere. Believe in your own unlimited potential. It is not that great people make great choices. Rather, people who make great choices become great people. So we should be zocha to a chodesh Adar of Simcha for all. Mishachas Adar Marbim b'Simcha. Shachas b'Suras Tovos. To refuos. We should be zocha to find the courage within. To understand that our greatest power is yeshno am achad mefuzar and mefurad bein ha'amim. And our greatest ability is v'daseim shonos mikol am. Our calendar is different. Our food is different. Our marriages are different. Our God is different. Kimu masha kiblu kfar. So I wish you a wonderful Chodesh Adar and a very freilichen Purim. Does anyone have questions? Okay, Besoros Tovus, everybody. Questions? Thank you, ladies.